Good morning. Certainly it is. I'm Aaron Hart filling in. Very glad to do so for you on this Tuesday morning, August 5th. It's going to break the heat first time in 23 days. It has not gone above 90 in the great state of Colorado, so we'll look forward to that. But we're going to turn up the political heat via the senior fellow of MediaMatters.org. We're gonna talk about this because we have to. We absolutely have to. And Paul Waldman, I'm very glad you could join us because this new book by Jerome Corsi is just as bad, apparently, as his first one was about John Kerry, Unfit for Command. The new one is a wholesale assault on Barack Obama. It's entitled The Abomination, Leftist Politics and the Cult of Personality. Gee, how original.
Yeah.
Hi, how are you, Paul?
I'm
nice to talk
great.
To you again.
How are you?
I'm pretty swell, except I'm getting combat fatigue from batting off all the unsubstantiated charges against Barack Obama. You guys must be really busy.
Yeah, it really is quite extraordinary. I think we're going to look back on this as a watershed campaign in a lot of ways, just for the sheer number and variety of scurrilous attacks on a Democratic candidate. I mean, people thought it was bad in 2004, but one of the big actors in that smear campaign from 2004 is now back. Jerome Corsi is the person who was one of the chief operators behind the Swift Boat Veterans for Truth campaign of lies against John Kerry.
Yep.
He co-wrote the book that was at the center of that campaign. Now he has a new book coming out that's an attack on Barack Obama and looks just as factually challenged. And I think this really offers a test for the media. You know, the real problem with what happened 4 years ago wasn't just that you had these guys who were out there saying all these things about John Kerry that just weren't true, you know, that he faked his injuries, that he didn't deserve his medals, all of these things. It wasn't just that. It was that the press just ate it up and gave all this publicity to them. And it wasn't until about a month into it that they finally got around to checking out whether or not the allegations that these guys were making were true.
Oh, and some of us on radio, I mean, I'm a liberal talk show host up in Seattle, and I'm going, whoa, you know, and I'm talking about it every day. I actually took the step. I never do this because I'm in the media necessarily, Paul, and I don't believe it's our job. I mean, I love your job. I love the way you guys do this, but I actually called the Kerry campaign, and I said, if you guys don't start fighting back, they're going to eat your lunch. You know, because the unsubstantiated charges, people were just buying them whole cloth because there was no opposition. So my first question to you, it's great that we now have a resource that we can go to like MediaMatters.org. But do you think the Obama campaign is fighting back enough, or can they keep up with the avalanche of misinformation that comes out?
Well, I think it's hard to tell at this point exactly what their strategy is. And, you know, I think from the standpoint of a campaign, there's always this kind of paradox. What do you do? Do you fight back aggressively and thereby perhaps give more publicity to the thing, or do you just try to ignore it and not give it any oxygen? And that's kind of a central problem that a lot of campaigns confront with the charges that come out against them. And there's no perfect answer to it. But I think that from the media's perspective, it's their obligation not to give publicity to it unless they can determine that there's some kind of factual basis. And
but I think what they get into, though, they get into it as if they're reporting a sporting event. So-and-so said this, and then so-and-so said that, and so-and-so. And they sort of, instead of, they seem to me to be lazy and don't do their homework. They don't say, so-and-so said that, and it's scurrilous, untrue, and they're repeating another lie. If they're going to talk about it, they should just ignore it 90% of the time. But instead, they give it because they know it'll drive ratings and it'll make them notorious or whatever they do. But what I get so angry about, and you must too as a senior fellow at Media Matters and MediaMatters.org, is why don't they put it in context? Why don't they keep up with the fact base?
Right, and sometime around the Lewinsky scandal there was this new journalistic standard adopted. It's called out there. And if a charge is out there, then they are going to report on it. Well, you know, that's not what they should be doing as journalists. They should take a look at something like this and say, okay, we're going to determine if this is credible at all. And if it's not, then we're not going to report it, even if it is out there. And if you look at, you know, at this round of charges against Obama, I mean, this guy, Jerome Corsi, is not someone who is a credible source on anything. I mean, one of the things that we did when the Swift Boat Veterans happened back in 2004 is We looked into him, and we found a whole bunch of posts that he put up on places, on conservative websites, attacking Islam, attacking Catholicism, all kinds of bigoted stuff, calling Muslims ragheads, calling basically every Democrat you could imagine a commie, you know, insults against Chelsea Clinton, calling her chubby Chelsea, calling Hillary Clinton a fat hog. And this is the kind of person who the media is now treating as though he's some kind of credible source, and whose allegations deserve to be discussed. Well, you know, we've already put up on MediaMatters.org some initial debunking of this book, and I'm sure there will be much more. And I think that it's the obligation of the media organizations who, on whom the public relies to get their information, to say, you know what, if we look at this and we determine that there's nothing to these ridiculous charges, then we're just not going to report it. We're not going to interview this guy. We're not going to give him a platform to spread this kind of misinformation.
Exactly. Or at the very least, if they do give him a platform, because you know Fox, but at least be responsible and respond to it by using, at least we have now the tremendous resource of factcheck.org, of mediamatters.org, of places where we can go to research things to find out what's substantiated and what isn't. I mean, there have been so many charges against Barack Obama. I just got one asked of me the other day, and I didn't know the answer immediately. Like, is he really a U.S. citizen? Does he have a birth certificate? And I'm like, I think he was born in Hawaii.
That's one of the crazier allegations that's out there, that somehow he wasn't really born in America. You know, it's there's so much crazy stuff out there that you really do have to be vigilant against it all.
You do, and there is, and even well-meaning people who you think, wow, they get worried and they ask questions, and bravo to them for asking questions rather than just believing bunk whole cloth. But the problem is there is so much of it, and he is so new on the scene. But if they can smear an established senator like John Kerry, I guess they can do it to anybody, particularly when they're moving on to a national stage.
Yeah, I think you're exactly right. I mean, the effort has been so extraordinary, and you know, think about the dozens of these different kind of smear emails that have landed in millions and millions of people's inboxes, the conservative websites out there that are passing off all kinds of misinformation, and then it moves from there onto places like conservative talk radio and Fox News, and then it begins to take on this veneer of legitimacy, even if the things that are being said are completely false.
So in terms of the ordinary citizen has, like I do as a talk show host, like journalists do, the resources of MediaMatters.org. And that's great, because one of the things I like is you segregated this by topic, you know, the divorce, the dedication, Obama's sister, Sulfina Adi, drug use. So you can go down this and find charge by charge a summary of the charges and countercharges so that you can be on more sure footing of the truth. But we move so quickly these days, I still wonder whether the campaigns don't have to kick back in a way that addresses some of these issues. It's astounding to me how much they get away with in terms of stating things that aren't true. And even, heck, Hillary Clinton went, I don't know, is he a Muslim? You know, it's like, I mean, when I see things like that happen, I just despair for the truth ever coming out in terms of that. Do you think that there's a certain point where people just go, I don't believe anything anymore unless I see it for myself? Or do you think that it helps the truth or hurts the truth to have these combats going on?
Well, I think that can happen. And, you know, that actually, I believe, is one of the goals of the campaign against the media that the conservatives have been running for the last 30 years, is to convince people that you can't believe anything, so that, you know, there's constant charges of liberal bias and all that even if something is, you know, on the evening news, that it must just be false, and that every single news organization is liberally biased, and therefore you can't believe anything, and the only thing you should believe is somebody who already agrees with you. But at Media Matters, we think that journalism is really, really important. And that's why we feel like we have two audiences for the stuff that we put up on our website every day. We want people to read it and understand it and to feel like they're armed, but we also want journalists to see it so they can get those kinds of facts and then use that when they're writing their next story and the story after that to help them contextualize it. Because, you know, the fact of the matter is that journalists aren't necessarily always perfectly informed, especially the ones who write about politics. You know, they're not policy experts. If you, you know, snag a particular journalist off of the campaign bus, what are they experts in? They may have to write about the economy or about energy or about Iraq, but they're not experts in those things. They're experts in politics.
Right.
And so often what happens is that misinformation that's floating around there finds its way into their story, not because they're trying to fool people, but because they just don't know what the facts are necessarily. So I think that it's that's what we see as part of our job, is to make sure the journalists are as informed as possible and have as many facts as possible at their disposal, so that they provide the proper context, so they don't let that those kinds of misinformation and lies get into their stories. But it's an effort that takes daily work.
It does, and a lot of people don't have time for that, but journalists definitely at least should, if they don't, do it and should have time for it. One of the things that I like to watch is I like to watch Keith Olbermann, in part because he puts things in context so quickly and so well. One of the things that he did yesterday was he took, you know, the latest thing is they're making fun of Obama for the, you know, the conservation suggestions, like carrying around a tire gauge and such. And he pointed out that, you know, NASCAR has recommended that, and that if you do have properly inflated tires and tune up your car, guess what? It's going to save you infinitely more energy in the long run than drilling everywhere will. So, well, particularly offshore. But, you know, it's those kind of factual comparisons that you just need to do a little deeper digging and make as a journalist. I always try. But I think it's hard. It must be hard, particularly in the rarefied atmosphere of a political campaign, to get all those facts.
Yeah, and I think sometimes it's not even you don't even need to know the details of policy. I mean, that's something where reporters can say, you know what, this attack that McCain is making, that's just silly. You know, the tire gauge thing. Obama was talking about conservation in a lot of different ways and saying there's a lot of different things you can do, and one of them is to keep your tires inflated. Okay, so
yeah.
Now the McCain campaign is treating this as though this is some sort of a plan, and this is the entirety of Obama's energy plan, and they're putting out web videos and stuff, and it's all based on a fundamental, you know, something fundamentally dishonest, as though Obama presented this as the only thing we should ever do about energy. And so reporters, I think, can look at that and say, you know what, that's just silly. I'm not going to show that web video on my network. I'm not going to write a story about that attack. But unfortunately, the idea of liberal bias is a myth, which we could talk about for a long time. But there is one extraordinary bias in political coverage, and that's a bias toward conflict and toward the negative. Reporters eat up anything that's negative. And so McCain campaign has to do, it seems, is put up some mean, nasty web video, and it's going to be shown on cable news 100 times in the course of the next day.
They enriched that ad about Obama by 1,500-fold. They gave him, I think Ed Rollins estimated, they got $40 million of publicity, and they only ran the ad 7 times. The ad on Obama, the one that got led to all the race card jujitsu, as you describe it. It's just, and I'm looking at that, and I got an email from someone that the Huffington Post had posted that one of the little web videos the McCain campaign issued was, you know, Obama made the comment about how I'm different than any other presidents on the dollar bills, and they're trying to scare you with that. Well, the reality is they did put his face on a $100 bill. They replaced his face with Ben Franklin's face with his in a series of web ads that they did on Obama being, they put his face on the Statue of Liberty, on the faces in South Dakota. What are those called?
Mount Rushmore.
They put him on Mount Rushmore and then multiplied him on Mount Rushmore. I don't know whether Obama saw that particular web ad or whether he was told about it, but they have been substituting him on a dollar bill as far as I understand it. So what the heck is this? Now that they turn around and Umbridge, he's playing the race card? He's African-American, for goodness sakes.
Yeah, and it was extraordinary how the media just ate that up. I mean, if you look at the way this has all played out, it's not hard to imagine that what the McCain campaign said is, you know what, the next time Obama says that thing about how he looks different, because he said it many, many times before, the next time he says it, we'll pretend to be really offended, and we'll say that he's playing the race card.
Yeah.
And they did that, and then the press just ate it up, and all they could talk about for days was the race card. Is Bill Obama playing the race card? Who's playing the race card? And the fact of the matter is that Obama has worked very hard not to make any kind of an argument based on his race, because he, you know, I think that they understand that there's a lot of residual racism in the United States, and that's not something they particularly want to talk about. It seems that it is something the McCain campaign very much wants to talk about, and they played the media like a violin on this one.
Oh, they really did, and I just found it appalling, and I wanted to scream stop, stop, and I kept waiting for somebody to do the same thing I did, which is get an email from Huffington Post going, look, they have some, you know, and who cares anyway? It's like I think we do have some pundits who are saying things like blanking on his name now. He's from Harvard, and he's very sober and intelligent. And he was saying, look, the reality is they are trying to paint Barack Obama as a, quote, uppity Negro. That's what they're trying to do. And I just find a lot of this borderline racist. I find it appalling. I think it's like trying to make him out to be the other. But they would do it no matter what color he was, because that is a Republican tactic, is to paint your opponent as the other.
You're exactly right. That's what they've been doing for 40 years, saying that whoever the Democrat is, he's not one of us. He's an elitist. He's different. He's somehow just not one of you, doesn't share your values. You're exactly right. That's what it's all about. It's about the fact that he's the other. And with Obama, they're doing it partly based on race, but they'd be making
religion.
Some version of the same argument, even if the nominee was Hillary Clinton or John Edwards or anybody.
So how do we stop this culture? I know this is a very hard question to answer simply, Paul Waldman, but as a senior fellow for MediaMatters.org, and I do appreciate your time so much, in addition to having websites like yours to turn to when books by Jerome Corsi come out, when McCain goes crazy, the McCain campaign goes crazy on the jujitsu about the race card, how do we settle down and find out the truth? My nephew said something very interesting to me the other day. He goes, I just make up my own mind and read a lot of the newspapers, which I found charming. He's 18 and he actually still reads newspapers, which is...
And there's hope for the future of our democracy.
I hope so. That's what I said. I told him, and I'm his aunt, so I'm glad to hear you say that too. But what else do we do?
Well, I think that you have to do two things at the same time. Individuals have to be as aware as possible and get information from as many different sources as they can to check it. And then I think you also, it's also all of our obligation to keep the pressure on the media to do their jobs in the best way. Because the fact of the matter is, most people aren't going to read 20 websites a day and read 3 newspapers and watch 5 news programs. Those of us who are political junkies sometimes forget that most people don't do that. You know, they catch a little bit of the news while they're making dinner.
Sure.
And so that's why it's so important that journalists are being vigilant. And so... So I think that we have to keep the pressure on them to do the right thing, to not spread misinformation, to be responsible, to provide context, all of those things. And if the journalists do their job, then even people who don't, who are not political junkies won't get fooled.
So, the best way to do that is to write them, call them, badger them?
Yeah, you can do all those things. I mean, you know, at Media Matters, every time we put up an item on our website, which
you
happens
do.
About
I
10
like
times
that.
A day, we put in contact information. So if there's something wrong with something that's on the Washington Post, you can write them and say, you know what, this article had a real problem in it and you should fix it.
And you say, please be polite, please be professional, and I like that too about you. You do that, and I appreciate that very much. You know, it is so good that this service, can we also go to MediaMatters.org for that full quote that Barack Obama allegedly said about it's all about me? You know the one I'm talking about, the one that Dana Milbank even distilled and didn't publish the whole quote?
Yes, we have items about that, so you can see the full context of what he said.
Cool.
And that's what we provide every time we talk about something offensive that Rush Limbaugh said. We have the audio and the transcript. We're very big on the full context.
You can see it, and that's what I love about MediaMatters.org. And thank you so much for taking time out of your busy day to help us out in Denver. I know Jay appreciates it, and I do too.
Yep, my pleasure.
Thank you much. Paul Waldman joining us live from Washington. Thank you very much again, and we'll be back with your phone calls and your observations about the Obama campaign, about holding the media's feet to the fire. Why do people take things out of context? It's 303-713-7600, and I knew they'd probably have the Dana Milbank controversy, but there you go. Now we've got to go to traffic because I'm way overdue. My bad. 9:26 it is. Time to check in with John Turk and Progressive Traffic. state of Mississippi. Papa was a Hi, this is Aaron Hart on AM 760 Progressive Talk. We're talking about how hard it is to find work in talk radio. Just so you know, in case you wonder why I said, oh, God, oh, it's really hard. I've been applying everywhere, and it is hard. It's really hard. There are very few talk radio jobs out there, I will tell you. It's 303-713-7600, particularly for females, particularly for progressives. But do I whine? No, I just comment and move on. It's Aaron Hart filling in for J. Marvin. Very grateful to work. Thank you. And I also want to talk to you about all kinds of things. To review, we have been talking about a lot of things today. Among it, Nine News had an extraordinary story about Jay Schaefer. I don't know if you saw Justin Schaefer's comments in Nine News today, but it's like, oh my goodness. And you have to go to SchaeferFamilyValues.org. I mean, .org is it or .com? Let me double check. I have to call up the link again. But basically, this kid posted a little bulletin board on his website. It's SchaeferFamilyValues.com. Don't believe me. Go check his website out for yourself, his Facebook page, where he not only has a little what they call a poster or bulletin board saying an icon on his Facebook page, which basically says slavery. It gets stuff done. And I don't mean the word stuff. By the way, he deeply regrets having displayed offensive items on his Facebook page. The trouble is, it's not only the one about slavery. It's about Obama. It's about women. It's about the Bush administration. It's about child rearing. It's really a creepy site in terms of the kinds of bumper stickers, that's what they're called, that he thinks are funny and enlightening. Like, what would Republican Jesus do? Republican Jesus, who is by a Confederate flag, armed with an assault rifle, with assault weapon, never mind rifle, weapon. It's really pretty frightening. He says it was solely his responsibility. His saddened his actions reflected poorly on his sisters and his parents. He humbly asks us for his forgiveness. You know what? I'm not so worried about forgiveness. I'm worried about your father, whose comment was this: my wife and I have initiated a process of firm and severe discipline with our son. You know, I'm no shrink. But reading your son's website, frankly, sir, gave me the creepy crawlies. And I know it's not fun to judge you entirely by your son's actions, but I don't like your political record either. So I do. It just confirms my estimation of you, which is you're not worthy to be a senator from Colorado, period. No question marks. Not worthy to be a senator from Colorado. And now his campaign manager told Mark Udall that he would shove 30-second commercials up his posterior. And he didn't use the word posterior. He used a word that is assets without the ETS on the end. That he would shove it up him because he dissed the Congress in missing a vote because he was fundraising. Excuse me, since when has a Republican been repulsed by money? Oh, yeah, since they had a harder time raising it. 303-713-7600. I'd love to talk to you about any of the topics we've raised. It can be, are we fair, though? Am I fair to bring up Justin Schaefer? My attitude is if they bring up Britney Spears, Justin Schaefer has much more to do with Bob Schaefer than Britney Spears has to do with, say, Barack Obama. And by the way, Paris Hilton's family gave money to John McCain. And then, as John Stewart so beautifully put it, and then they have the audacity to take a dump on their daughter. Yeah, great. The McCain, hi, give me money and I too will take a dump on your daughter. Whoa, really, really amazing stuff. 303-713-7600. So we can talk about all that and more. It's 9:33. I'm Aaron Hart, filling in on the J. Marvin Show. It's time to check Colorado's progressive traffic with John Turk. I like where the spike with pain and music is my aeroplane. It's my aeroplane. Somber, sweet and sour Jane and music is my aeroplane. It's my aeroplane. Hi, this is Aaron Hart on AM 760 Progressive Talk. By the way, John Turk, good for him, is sticking up for the congressman in the House, who are upset with Mark Udall for missing that vote to hold the Congress accountable for discussing energy. He thinks it was wrong of Mark Udall to miss that. And that's another side of the story, but telling him to shove a 30-second, he agrees, 30-second ads up your behind for that is not a good punishment. And I actually like Congressman Udall, and you know what I suspect? I smell the fine hand of, you better miss this vote because we're all against this. It's showing up, Ms. Pelosi. We better do this. And I am somewhat disappointed in Nancy Pelosi. That's maybe a topic for a different day, but we can talk about anything you would like. We can talk about rabid bikers. We can talk about rabid drivers. We can talk about energy-saving techniques that you may have. We can talk about sexual assault in the military. We can talk about why is GOP registration dropping hugely in a lot of states. And a lot of it, I think, has to do with the Bush administration's actions. I really do. I think it has to do with the way the Bush administration has been so terribly disappointed, pointing not only to Republicans, but to the nation as a whole. I mean, I am hard-pressed to think of a leader who failed so dismally to help his country out of a terrible time. I really have a tough time thinking about it. Look at Roosevelt, what he did out of the Depression and World War II. Look at Harry Truman. It's just... Even Richard Nixon was, I can't go to Nixon. Marty in Longmont, welcome to AM 760 Progressive Talk. Nixon just short-circuited my brain. Go ahead. Marty? Ew. Well, I guess he disappeared. Sorry, Marty. Come back. Kevin in Fort Collins, welcome.
Hi, Aaron.
Hi, Kevin.
Aaron, I was just listening to the Media Matters guy. Does great work and that type of thing. But
he does.
I totally agree, and I'm glad that you and Jay put him on. But we need to kind of come to grips with the deal. Why aren't we talking about the same thing with McCain and the fact that he needs to watch the press and make sure that they don't misreport something about him, and that they're not covering stories about, somebody wrote a book about McCain and how he dumped his wife and all these other things. We just need to come to grips with the fact that we don't have a media. It's a right-wing type of thing, and if it wasn't for Air America and for AM 760 and progressive stations, we wouldn't have anything, without the bloggers and that type of thing. So we just need to realize that, we're not going to – I think that we need to try to keep the press held accountable, but the bottom line of it is you can't – if you have a full-time job, raising kids and that type of thing, we have to come to grips with the fact that we have to get a media, somebody rich in the progressive thinking tank has to come and fund something like Fox has done. Otherwise, we're going to have a losing battle here because our newspapers are right-wing, our television networks, with the exception of maybe Keith Olbermann and a few shows like that, and we've got NPR and that type of thing. But other than that, it's so one-sided, and it's always going to be. I mean, they never really took that much exception to Reagan. They didn't take that much exception to Bush's dad. I mean, it's always been one-sided in that last 20 years since the Fairness Doctrine's gone away. So, we have to do something more, and as progressives and liberals, just say we don't have a media. I mean, it's right wing, it's corporate media. And we have to understand that instead of trying to act like we can fix something that doesn't want it.
Well, it's sort of like I'm shocked to find out there's gambling going on in this casino.
Exactly.
It is true. It is really very. It's very important to hold their feet to the fire. And you're right, there is a dearth of places that we can all talk and find our news. I am comforted by Keith Olbermann. I also watch Dan Abrams because I happen to know him and I like Dan. But
Dan's good, too.
He's good, and he tries to be what he calls a fair broker, although he makes me laugh. Because he's not fair all the time at all.
You've got Bill Moyers, though, too.
I watch Bill Moyers, absolutely. I mean, there are voices in the wilderness, and there are a lot of bloggers and stuff. I'm not as fond of blogs, I guess, because in traditional, I want my facts checked. Although
exactly.
I don't look at the Media Matters as if it is a blog. I look at it as if it is a specialized newspaper.
Aaron,
and I think
that
is something.
Out there?
Pardon me?
Can I throw one more thing out there? That
sure.
Because to have you discuss a little bit.
Yeah.
Is I listen to people that talk about National Public Radio, and it's not bad, but you're not going to get the local news. You're not going to get the politics that you really need.
Yeah.
And when I talk to progressives that listen to it, and I tell them about the Governor Sigelman in Alabama that Karl Rove basically had prosecuted and jailed,
you
know, their jaws drop on the ground. I never heard about that, you know, and that was even covered on 60 Minutes on CBS.
No.
So if you don't listen to, you know, progressive radio, you're just not going to get it. And PR is not going to tell you. They're going to give you some story in Africa and Darfur and things like that that are important, but you're not going to get the hard-hitting news that you get on progressive radio, especially AM760.
No, it's true. Thank you.
You bet.
Couldn't have said it better myself, and thanks for supporting the station. And support our sponsors, too, and support everyone, because that's the way it's going to get done. You know, and I do like NPR, too. I listen to them quite often, but I absolutely agree with your take. I also find them a little dry sometimes. So I agree with you. I have yelled at NPR reporters and particularly local ones up here for not asking tougher questions. It drives me wild. 303-713-7600. Carol in Parker, welcome to the Jay Marvin Show with Aaron Hart.
Hello. I didn't really intend to get on the air. I just felt bad for that lady who was so upset about the drilling that was going to be 900 feet away. And I was just telling the screener, who's always very nice, that I just came back from Grand Isle, Louisiana, visiting my son and my grandchildren, who were 2 and 3, and they were playing on the beach, and a mile away, there's a row of evil Exxon, drilling away, and the water's clear as crystal, and the fish are more abundant. I mean, we were buying them off the dock. The fishing boats are coming in, and nobody's afraid of anything. It's a Coast Guard base. My son's in the Coast Guard. And people having children, I never see such big families, 5, 6. And, I mean, people shouldn't be scared. When I lived on Long Island, they put in this nuclear plant, Shoreham, that they ultimately closed down, and it was close to us, sort of. I mean, nobody worried about it. I mean, you just go on with your life, and you do the best you can do every day, and she sounded so worried. So people are trying to terrify these people that they're going to drop like flies. That's what I just thought, it must be horrible to worry every day that somebody, you know, you're going to be cyanided to death or something.
Well, I think part of the problem is that the oil companies have not had, and the chemical companies in this country have not had a great history of being concerned about the environment. Now, thank goodness we have better laws now, and I'll give credit where credit is due. The EPA was actually created by, do you know who was the inspiration for creating the EPA?
No.
It was the evil Richard Nixon. So, you know, it's kind of amazing, but it's true. And the environmental movement has been the province of both, although I think there are arguments to be made that the Republicans have not been as good for the environment. But on the other hand, I think that certainly the conservation movement and others can be, and you're right, they can coexist. And technology has come a long way in terms of resolving some of the problems. And nobody's going to necessarily drop dead because an oil well is drilled right next to them. But I think somewhere in the middle of the two of you is where I am. I think it's good to be eternally vigilant, to make sure that you check them out, to make sure. And the thing that it concerned me more so than perhaps even the oil well was the fact that her Republican representatives didn't think it was important enough to call her back.
I heard that.
That annoys me.
Yes,
you know,
yes.
That pisses me off.
You should get an explanation. I agree. And I heard a great interview. It had to be on Air America with the Democrat, guy who's running, you know, against Ted Stevens. And he's all about drilling. And
he's the mayor of Anchorage.
I loved that interview. He gave a great explanation of exactly what you're saying about coexistence, how it could be done. And, you know, he sounded wonderful.
Well, he did. I tend to like the governor of Montana better, who I think I heard on the same show, which is Ed Schultz, which follows this one. But, yeah, no, absolutely. I think
Ed Schultz. That's right. I did.
It was Ed Schultz because he also had on the governor of Montana, who I just think is a pistol, Governor Schweitzer.
I missed that. I'm in and out all the time, you know, so I don't always get everybody.
Well, if you ever hear about the governor of Montana being interviewed, take a listen, Gloria. I think you'd like him.
It's Carol.
Oh, Carol. Yep. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
I looked down and saw
Gloria's
the name Claire.
A nice name.
I know. You know, Gloria was the name of the woman who's concerned in Colorado Springs. I switched you.
Oh, okay.
Sorry, Carol. I didn't mean to conflate you with Gloria, who's the one who's concerned. Thank you very much.
Calm her down. I love your show. Okay.
Thank you.
Okay,
all right.
Bye.
Thank you, Carol. I'm Erin Hart. This is AM 760 Progressive Talk. Now let's go to Barry in Broomfield. Sorry.
Hi,
it's live radio.
Barry.
How are you, Barry?
Yeah, Barry in Broomfield. And what I'm thinking is that the McCain campaign, the Schaefer campaign, they're keeping the Democrats and the progressives rock back on their heels and defending themselves.
Yeah.
And what we really need to be doing, yeah, it's part of the game, but what we really need to be doing is we need to be attacking those people on the issues. We need to be out there with an offense.
Well, that's why I think some of Obama's ads have actually been great in terms of responding on the issues. The problem is, I don't know if they're running in the state of Colorado, but they're not running in progressive states like mine. They're not running nationally, and they're not getting the $40 million of exposure that the attack ads get.
Right. Well,
I love the way the media always goes to attack ads work. No, they get repeated and repeated and repeated by you, and that may be some reason why they work. You know, good ads really get.
They're getting a lot of free advertising on progressive radio, progressive TV shows as well.
True.
Let's make McCain pay for those ads. if he's going to get free, if he's going to get advertising, he might as well pay for it, right?
Amen, brother. I agree, Barry.
You
absolutely.
But we also need to be, instead of responding to their agenda, we need to be setting an agenda.
I think you're right. And I think one of the things that Barack Obama needs to start doing, I think he thought he needed to explain himself, sort of like John Kerry did. And I think what he needs to do more importantly is to say, McCain is Bush, McCain is Bush, McCain is Bush because, McCain is Bush because, McCain is the status quo because, McCain is this because, McCain hates the environment because, McCain will give $4 billion to the oil companies because. And I know that sounds like not setting the agenda, it sounds more like attacking, but I think in some ways that does have to be done as well, don't you?
But see, that's the kind of negative ad that's ethical.
Yeah.
See, you're not attacking him. Him personally.
You're not saying McCain is old and decrepit and calls his wife names. Yeah, you're not saying that. Yeah.
No. None of that. We don't need to do that. We're above that.
No, and I think you're right, but that will not get the same play. The problem is that will not get the same play on the media as the attack ads that McCain is putting out. So the question is always, how do you attack it? Now, I find something interesting. Everybody's moaning and wailing and bemoaning their hands and saying, Barack Obama is behind. He's behind. But if you go to electoral-vote.org, which, by the way, was running much tighter for John Kerry back in 2004, in case you're wondering. He was ahead at this point in time, but he wasn't ahead like this is. I think the last I checked, he had 316 Electoral College votes, Barack Obama, because that is a state-by-state view of the polls, not a national poll. National polls are essentially worthless.
They
don't work. So the reality, what you have to look at is an overall internal polling in the individual states. And by that measure, Obama's doing much better than certainly John Kerry was doing at this point in time. Now, one of the things that we have to think about, though, too, is how do you hit back in a way that makes sense? And my long-winded way of explaining, I think Barack Obama's doing better, A, because young'uns don't have cell phones and don't answer polls. But I also think he's doing better than expected because he's survived a huge onslaught. Not only that, his numbers aren't dropping that much. He's leading 47% to 37% among whites, among Caucasians of $27,000 a year in income and less. So
he's winning all the demographics.
I think that's one reason why they're attacking this early. Thank you very much for your call, Barry. I appreciate it. It's 9:51. I have to jump to a break with John Turk and Progressive Traffic. We'll be right back with more of your phone calls coming up. So get on board, 303-713-7600. Tomorrow we'll talk a little anthrax, and we're going to talk more about ads, more about all kinds of things. And by the way, primates are facing extinction. And they won't be serving dog in China. I think I'm relieved.
Erin,
I'm Erin Hart.
Erin, hey, real quick. You know, some of those conservatives say that endangered species is a bunk thing to place on any animal?
Yeah.
Isn't that ridiculous? Just let them die off. Who cares?
Yeah, let them die off. Who cares if we have gorillas or lemurs?
I saw that the other day. They think it's like some kind of false classification that we shouldn't have to do.
All the more reason to talk about it, John.
Ridiculous. All right, to traffic. I'm sorry. That thing just really bothers me.
Hi, this is Erin Hart filling in for Jay Marvin. If you haven't checked out the Dana Milbank controversy, I first heard about it last night on Keith Olbermann. Check it out. We may talk a little bit about that tomorrow, too. And electoral-vote.com. Oh, my gosh. It's saying Obama's only got 289 votes, which still beats the Electoral College threshold. John McCain's gaining, though, with 236. Ties only in 13, and Florida just went weak Republican, which is not good news. So did, and Ohio just went barely Republican. That worries me. Hi, Noah in Boulder. Welcome to AM 760 Progressive Talk and the Jay Marvin Show.
Hey, Aaron. Just to bring up what you were just saying, I actually have a website. It's just polls, like, .com or something.
You do?
Yeah, and it says... I searched it up on Google, and it says right here that Obama is up 311 to 227.
311 to 227? Okay, what's the name of your... You set up this website yourself, Noah?
I just found it.
Cool. What's the name of it, Noah?
USAElectionPolls.com.
USAElectionPolls.com. Okay, and it's all one word?
Yeah.
Oh, excellent. I'm so glad. Now, you sound like me when I was... You sound young. Are you young? I don't mean to...
Yeah, I'm 12.
Oh, cool. You sound like me when I was 12. I wish I had a talk radio host to listen to when I was 12. I'm glad you're listening. What's on your mind today? What do you think about the elections? How are you following it?
Well, yesterday McCain said that Obama wouldn't use nuclear and clean coal, mm-hmm. like at one of his energy speeches, but like I go on his website... And it says that he really advocates clean coal, then he just wants to use nuclear safer, which if you use it now, it causes a bunch of cancer and stuff.
You know, you're bringing tears to my eyes, Noah. You and my nephew, I swear. I just remember I told the guy from Media Matters about my nephew.
Yeah.
You young people who are doing research, I don't mean to say, I hope I don't sound condescending because I really don't mean it. I admire and respect you so much for doing your homework and for doing your research, and you did so the right thing. You know, you went right to the source, you went to the website, you used the internet exactly what it should be, and you went to Barack Obama's website, and you double-checked the facts.
Yeah.
Wow, I'm impressed.
And then also, the McCain tire gauge thing where he's handing out these tire gauges says Obama, that's Obama's energy plan.
Yeah.
That's just so stupid because it's just a gimmick and they're trying to.
Well, plus they're fundraising on it. You know how much they're charging on their website? Isn't it $25,
yeah,
Noah?
Yeah, and I was watching Keith Olbermann, too, and he said you can get it online for like 80, on Amazon for like 88 cents or something.
I'm going to double check the auto store with that one. Noah, thank you so much for your call. Please call again, promise?
All right.
All right, great. I'm Erin Hart, and on that note, I can't think of a more cheerful note to end the show. Thank you. Thanks, John Turk. Thanks, everyone, and thanks especially Noah. I'm Erin Hart. This is AM 760 Progressive Talk.